I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Super excited to welcome Lindsay Hoover and Simeon Schnapper, managing partners at JLS Fund. Guys, it's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Jeff. Good to hear from you, sir.
Always good to hear from both of you. So guys, you know, quick update. Lindsay's an entrepreneur. She was an investment banker. She was also a diplomat. Lindsay, we'll come back to you there because I want to hear all about that.
Sounds good.
And Simeon, you've been an entrepreneur and you're a lifelong student of psychedelics, which I think a lot of people are very envious of. So guys, why don't we just, you know, kick off the show. Talk to us a little bit about how you found each other. You know, a little bit about your investment strategy. Obviously, you guys are so focused on the psychedelic space. And then we can go from there.
Love it. Well, I'll start with the first question, which was how we found each other.
Yes.
It's a blurry memory, and it's probably 15, 16, geez, am I getting that old? 17 years ago now. I met
Lindsay. Simeon, was it blurry because there were psychedelics involved?
No, at this time, it was probably a very good martinis because it was in Shanghai. I was living in Shanghai for a while. I was living in Tibet then, did 7 years in Shanghai. And Lindsay knew one of my partners, and I remember my partner said, oh, and I'm inviting Lindsay tonight, and it was dinner or a club. That's why it's blurry, because it was late and it was Shanghai. But that's when we first met, and you know, kind of like an instant adoration, appreciation. And then, you know, slowly but surely, we found something to work on together, which was several years ago, which was around investment and plant medicine, et cetera, et cetera.
Was that before or after Lindsay was a diplomat?
That was after.
Okay, so talk to us about the being a diplomat, because I haven't had anybody on the show that was a diplomat before.
Well, I studied Russian and Chinese and could see that, you know, a lot of the interesting things that are transpiring now are probably down the pike, even way back then, right? Two very, very powerful countries that were right next to each other, that were pivotal to the future of the U.S. And I actually considered doing something on the business front, but I really was hoping I could change the world. It turns out it's not that easy to change the world from a big bureaucracy, which may be why I became an entrepreneur. Greatest job in government ever, though. But that is part of the reason I was back in Shanghai, is I had studied Chinese. I'd lived in Hong Kong and Taiwan, spent some time in Guangzhou, and decided to visit, you know, Shanghai and Beijing. And a friend, led me down Simeon's road, where our mutual love of all things improv is actually one of the reasons that we ended up together. Improvisational theater. Simeon at one point tried to buy Second City. So we just bonded immediately. And as Simeon says, we kept trying to find things to work together on until we landed on something fantastic. And the reason it's fantastic is, it's kind of funny. So I was in banking for a few decades, right? And Simeon also, you know, went through the internet, had successful businesses there and in manufacturing. And we were talking about principal investing, and I was very hot on that concept. And Simeon brought up this idea of psychedelics. And I think he thought I might have been a little bit hesitant, but when he brought up psychedelics and I found out about his history that hopefully he'll share with all of us, I knew we had a killer advantage in that market. And I also knew it was going to be enormous. And so we were very, very, yes, hell-bent on work.
When exactly was that, Lindsay?
That would have been around the end of 2019, middle of 2019. We were already, you know, meeting companies. We hosted the world's first psychedelic investor forum in Beverly Hills, at least in modern times. Hosted MindMed in its early days, when they were doing their first raise. And that kind of kicked us off with one of our other co-founders, and we just started investing and have never looked back.
Cool. Well, Simeon, I think Lindsay kind of set you up there because I want to hear about this story.
Yeah. I think it's also, you know, answers the question from the intro, the lifelong student. I was like a precocious teenager in Chicago, Illinois. Curious about the mind and curious about the brain and consciousness and mystical traditions, and had the great fortune of, meeting and studying with two giants, Robert Masters and Gene Houston, who wrote the book varieties of psychedelic experiences, which today is still like a Bible from protocol and LSD and the psyche. And, you know, in a very short period of time, realized that these, you know, quote unquote molecules and plant medicines would be a lifelong journey. So over the last 30 years, I've been able to participate and observe like every little corner of this, what now people are calling an industry, but might not have been called that until capital markets became part of the equation, which was when we started deploying capital into the space.
Awesome. And now talk to us a little bit about the fund, some of the companies that you guys have invested in. And before that, before we get to that, one question I did have for you guys, because obviously I'm, you know, very deep in the cannabis space and, you know, we work with a whole ton of different investors and it's hard enough for cannabis. Obviously we've come a long way and things are really starting to open up and people are being, you know, they're jumping on the opportunity to invest now. I feel like psychedelics, I don't know, this is my own take, but the last year, it's just like explosive. Like it went from people being, there's very heavy stigma to almost like, it's even less of a stigma than cannabis had. You know, I'm wondering, why is that? Why do you think that there's such a progressive view on psychedelics more than cannabis? Is cannabis opened that door fast and now it's much easier? Like, what are you guys experiencing?
Yeah, I could certainly address just anecdotally and having, you know, spent a good amount of time in cannabis. My first dispensary was, I opened the world's first psychedelic art gallery, medical marijuana dispensary in 2008. Wow. In Venice.
Early
adopter. Very fun multi-year experience where we sold a lot of cannabis and obviously art, but also as this container to talk about the future of psychedelics. Took a little longer than I would have hoped for, but it's happening. And it's there's definitely similarities, right? I think the misnomer of cannabis 2.0 is exactly that. It's a misnomer. It's a very different industry. Still plant medicine, still has great possibilities and great efficacy from a healing perspective. But, you know, anecdotally in the past, whenever I had to talk to the FDA or the DEA, there was always contention and there was always resistance. Same with legislators or mayors or governors or even, you know, internationally, heads of state. The conversation is very different. Within a minute, it's like, I'm suffering with a mental health thing, or hey, my kid is dealing with X, Y, or Z. So that's a big factor. It's just, it's a shift based on, you know, three really big things. The two bigger ones is the research, you know, and there were tens of thousands of clinical trials that predated the Controlled Substances Act, and then things kind of went dormant and underground. Or just in the very small capacity of philanthropy and research. So the fact that you're seeing all this data and promise, and that's up against some major shifts like the opioid epidemic, like mental health in general, I think is a reason that it's moving so fast.
Yeah, we were really encouraged by the, and perhaps some of the early cannabis backers learned maybe the hard way that trying to go up against the existing drug, you know, infrastructure, pharmaceutical infrastructure, treatment infrastructure might not be the easiest way. And the fact that it's taking this medicalized route through FDA approvals and the fact that the FDA is behind it and is granting orphan drug designation or accelerated trials because of this mental health crisis, it provides a certain level of kind of certainty and predictability about what's going to happen and be in place for these medicines to come to market, number one, but also for the investment infrastructure. You know, at every step of this process, who's going to invest in the early stages, who's going to be coming in from traditional biotech funds, who's probably going to be the buyer of some of these therapeutics. There's a lot less risk in a situation where investors understand how it's going to play out and where there's a role for everyone at the table. You know, pharma's not being disintermediated. Therapists aren't being disintermediated. Really, nobody's being cut out of this equation. It's a big catalyst for success against mental health and addiction crises where everybody wins and the patients win because the side effects, the addiction level, like none of that happens with psychedelics or very, very little compared to traditional SSRIs and other treatments. So it's a triple win.
Yeah, Lindsay, I'm seeing a trend now across a lot of people that I know, both, you know, in the industry, but also friends who were kind of dabbling with, you know, psychedelics, at least on the microdose side, for well-being or stress and for like antidepressants. And it's just, it's kind of interesting because I've noticed even, you know, folks who I know that are taking it that are extremely conservative, right? That they don't do any drugs. And they look at it, they don't look at it as necessarily a drug. They look at it as, hey, well, you know what? This is naturally occurring on the planet. And at a small, small level, if it's going to help me have a better life, right? And I've just, I don't know. It's just, it's mind blowing to me because like, these are people who don't smoke cannabis at all. You know, they're like, oh, I don't do drugs. And then they go and do this. It's like, I love it, actually. It makes me happier. Makes me, you know. So I just kind of feel like we're about to experience this kind of revolution of our minds where people are open to experimenting with things that are naturally occurring that have always been kind of, you know, off limits, right? Because it's illegal. And so it's kind of it's a fun time to be alive, I guess, despite all the also bad time to be alive, right?
You need good things, right? Well, yeah, you know, yeah. Taps into our bigger investment thesis really is all around not only mental health and well-being, but optimization. And so we invest in psychedelics, but we also invest in the tools and the technology, both from the AI and machine learning and big data side of finding better solutions quicker and matching them to the right patient or user, but also all of the other, you know, virtual reality and the meditation and all the things that can help people take agency and take control over their mental well-being. And so for the people that are healthy, that are looking for an edge, there's something for them as well, as you point out, yeah. Right? To feel better, to function better, to focus better, to hit the tennis ball better, as one of our drug developer partners showed us, yeah. The other day. He said, I was out there playing tennis with my coach. And he said, wait a minute, have you been microdosing? And I said, is that because you played so much better? And he said, yes. And then he played us the short video of his amazing tennis shot. So,
wow, that's incredible.
For everyone.
Well, listen, I feel like, you know, we both of us are investors in Wisana. And, you know, I think I was the first check in with Daniel, you know, over a year ago. And, you know, when he first kind of came up with this concept and, you know, obviously Chad and I work very closely together. So I loved it from day one, just because here's something that's going to help people in such a profound way, you know, especially athletes, especially people who had, you know, traumatic brain injuries. And, you know, I think those are the type of, you know, companies out there that are really going to change the way even the government sees the use cases that it can actually help heal people, right? What was it for you guys that, you know, attracted you to invest in Wisana and many other companies in your portfolio?
Yeah, we heard you were an investor and that's all we needed. Now, honestly, it was, you know, it was the leadership. It was... I at least, you know, personally was really impressed. And I had been talking to Daniel previously around all things decriminalization, which is a whole probably other podcast because right. It's very yeah. nuanced. So that's how we first met and just kind of learned his personal story, which he's, you know, very public about. And it's very much about the brand. And then as we got deeper and deeper into, you know, clinical trials and FDA approval, but also that specific indication, a traumatic brain injury is really complex. And it's like, it's not just one indication. Sometimes it's many, many, mm-hmm. you know, TBI affects everything from depression to, it's a very long list, suicide ideation, you name it. So one, it was the attraction of the healing that could happen if someone comes up with a solution for traumatic brain injury. And then two, I think just timing, it was a good team. It was a good valuation. It was something we wanted to really support. So yeah, it was a pretty easy diligence process for our team on Wisana.
I think Simeon brings up a good point in terms of what interests us from an investment perspective. And because TBI is so complicated, if you are first to market with a therapy approved by the FDA, a drug, a novel formulation approved by the FDA for one aspect or set of symptoms of TBI, you could potentially have, you know, knock on sort of off label or follow on approval for multiple indications because TBI does have, you know, depression and anxiety and all these other conditions associated with it. So we're very interested in great teams and great science, and we do very extensive due diligence on both, and protectable IP. So this is where, to some degree, I think the investment landscape diverged a bit from cannabis. There's a very high focus here on the ability to bring novel therapies to market and protect them. And so we've selectively really invested in some of the best drug hunters in the world on the drug side. And in terms of all of the ancillary technologies, there's some very exciting developments that have really transformed oncology that are now starting to be applied to mental health, where you can really provide personalized medicine. And so, I think we look for what most good investors or successful investors look for. Outstanding teams is the first thing. And then hopefully they bring really differentiated, unique capabilities /science/services to market.
Cool. Anything that you guys are seeing right now, or at least as we kind of, you know, move into, you know, second quarter of this year, at least on the psychedelics front, anything that you've seen really change, anything that you've seen kind of explode, an area of focus that you think is really growing, like any predictions?
Well, the software side and the tool side and the technology side, we always said, look, we're going to have to invest first in the drugs, because the drugs are the therapeutics that can really move the needle, that can be a catalyst for this whole space. And once we figure out that there are some drugs we think are going to make it to market that are just going to be very, very successful for patients and successful in market, then we know there's an ecosystem that's going to develop around it. And that ecosystem is now forming. So we're seeing very exciting plays in software and AI and ML and NLP, you know, neuro-linguistic processing, and all of the technologies that will help you help you treat the patient better, you know, with ancillary apps and measures and wearable sensors. And so that part of this ecosystem is starting to develop. And I guess the other thing that we find very interesting is several of the companies we invested in are now currently raising up rounds in a market where, you know, I think the perception is, gee, you know, it's been a tough time for cannabis stocks. It might've been a tough time for psychedelic stocks, but the quality companies are very successful in raising follow-on capital. So that's a good thing. Valuations have kind of come to rest a little bit in the space and in general. And that's actually a really good thing for this industry, because it needs a lot of capital to grow. And we're seeing a lot of capital. And as you pointed out, just like the people that might not be usually taking drugs, people that might not have thought this or might not have even been aware of this market are becoming very quickly aware, especially among the medical community. We're seeing a lot of investors that are doctors, that are psychiatrists, that are neuropharmacologists, because they see where this is going.
Right. I mean, yeah, this, think about just, you know, ketamine, you know, psilocybin, like there's just so many branches, right, that you see it everywhere. I think even on social, on Instagram, I'm amazed actually how many ads I get on a daily basis for these ketamine clinics, ketamine therapy, like sign up now, see if you qualify. Like that's something I had never seen. And by the way, I grew up in New York City and, you know, spent many years, in my 20s going out and, you know, experimenting with various drugs, if you will. And, you know, ketamine, I would never in a million years think that ketamine is something that can be used for, you know, depression and helping people, where it was really in the past used as a, you know, a drug at a club to kind of, you know, be out of it, right? So it's just kind of amazing. I think also, and I'm curious what you guys think about this is, on the recreational side, mm-hmm. you know, I'm seeing all of these apps, especially for like, you know, the metaverse, if you will. But like My Trip, have you guys seen this for Oculus?
Trip? The Oculus app, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. It's
one
so
of the companies
cool.
we invested in.
Oh my God. I downloaded it just because I'm obviously like always on and I'm, you know, do 15, 16 meetings a day. And by the end of the day, I'm so tired. But I can't, I'm so overtired that I can't sleep. And so I downloaded this the other day, just, I don't know how I came across it. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I have Oculus and I don't use it. I'll try it. And I was sitting back in my chair and I put it on and it was so cool.
Is it fun? It's great.
It's so cool. And obviously I was totally like sober, like nothing. I was just, it was after work, but I can imagine, you know, doing a small, you know, dose of psilocybin and putting that thing on, and it's probably incredible, you know?
Definitely. I know this Saturday, I think it's a 5-hour meetup in one of, I've, forget the name of the label Metaverse, but it is Trip sponsored. So if you're around Saturday, we can meet up in the Metaverse.
Oh my God,
with other trippers. Yeah, announcement just went out this morning, but Trip is, you know, co-hosting in the Metaverse, kind of a meetup.
Well, I mean, listen, Simeon, I mean, unfortunately, I just got COVID, so I'm not going anywhere. So I'll see you on Saturday in the Metaverse.
Yeah, yeah. I'll follow up with the direct RSVP and invite there. I know it's public, too, for anyone who's, you know, has Trip installed on their Oculus. I do think you bring up another good point, and it actually answers a previous question on trends. So, you know, we believe that the recreational side is a drop in the ocean compared to the medicalization. But if you look at what's happening, and it's happening at such a fast pace, and it's very similar to what happened in cannabis and involves the 14th Amendment, states are saying, wait a minute, we have, whether it's the curing of sickness or the healing of sickness or the optimization of wellness, like our... Oh, nice.
For everyone who's listening now, sorry, Simeon, but I got the email.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
That's amazing for my trip. Cool. Sorry.
We'll connect Saturday in the Metaverse. I can't wait to see what your virtual identity looks like. I'm sure you'll have, you know, I'm taller, thinner, and more handsome in the Metaverse.
Not awesome.
But, on Decrim, you're starting to see this, you know, which really is a third component to not just the research, but it's like the people's voice, you know, and you're seeing that across hundreds of cities. You're seeing that at the state level, not just the decriminalization, but the legalization of psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy. So that is a very grassroots kind of revolutionary thing, and one could parallel what happened with, I mean, cannabis is still federally illegal, but here we are, you know.
And that kind of leads to, like, Trip is a great example of, yes, we invest in Trip. It's not psychedelic, it's not a drug, but it does help your mind, and it's actually being used in some clinical trials and has data gathering, biometric data gathering capabilities that make it an amazing tool to figure out how well is this working for me? What do I need to do afterwards to maintain the effects? So that's kind of where this world is going. It's a great mashup between what consumers want and what they need and all the great technology surrounding it.
Yeah. I think one thing that I love about it is when you kind of enter the experience, it actually asks you, like, how are you feeling, right? Are you stressed? Are you not? Are you anxious? You know, and you use that little scale and then you go through the whole experience. And then after, it's like, how do you feel now? And so I feel like that is something for me, at least, like, oh yeah, actually, you know what? I feel lighter. I'm totally chill. Personally, I just happen to really like all of the, you know, there's certain instances where you're in, like, everything's just moving and lines and colors and beautiful things. And, you know, for someone who's also creative, I think it's very enjoyable. So I love it. So you guys, great investment. But listen, I loved having you guys on the show. I love spending time with you guys out in California when we met at Trailblazers, and you know, really appreciate you guys, you know, giving insight into the space. And yeah, it seems like this year is going to be incredible for you guys. So congrats.
Thanks, Jeff. We're really looking forward to it and hoping we can connect again with you in real life, not just in the first, but see you in the meantime.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.